You are Locked On Vols, your daily Tennessee Volunteers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome in to Locked On Vols, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Josh Ward. Thank you for being here today. Today's show is going to be a little bit different. It's going to be a collaboration episode. I'm going to talk in just a moment to Luke Robinson and Jimmy Stein of Locked On Bama. We're going to do a collaboration episode talking about the game and the history of the rivalry, which has been very lopsided here the last 12 years since Nick Saban took over at Alabama, and maybe how it gets back to being more competitive. So that's going to be a big focus for the show here in just a moment, as Tennessee and Alabama will kick off at 9 o'clock Eastern Time, 8 o'clock in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, with the game being on ESPN. Tennessee is, of course, a big underdog going into this one, and this begins the second half of the season. So that'll be a lot of the focus on today's show as I begin here talking to Luke Robinson and Jimmy Stein from Locked On Bama.
Yeah, it is very cool, and we appreciate your being on. You know, I know the Tennessee-Alabama rivalry has been rather one-sided over the last decade or so, and I'm sure that sticks in your craw a little bit, but we've been on the other side of this thing. We know how it goes. What is the overall mood in Tennessee right now? I mean, are guys – are people satisfied – that's a bad word. Are people okay with Jeremy Pruitt and the direction of the program, especially coming off the win over Mississippi State, or are there still some lingering ill will after the beginning of the season?
Yeah, I think that the last few weeks have helped with that, because at the beginning of the season when Tennessee lost to Georgia State and then to BYU, that was not good for anybody within the program. That was not good for the fan base, which had, you know, gone through the summer months, gone through a long offseason, building up anticipation for a year where the team and the program were expected to take a step forward. And then that happened. But since then, things have gotten a little bit better. And that's from player development, the way that Tennessee has played along the line of scrimmage, the quarterback change. Fans were very frustrated with Jarrett Garantano's performance in the first month of the season, rightfully so. He wasn't playing well, nowhere close to where he should have been playing. And then Brian Maurer comes in as a true freshman, and he has a long way to go to be what they want him to be as a quarterback, but he's made some plays. He's provided some excitement for the fans, the coaching staff, his teammates, and that's a good thing. But there's still a long way to go, but I would say compared to where things were at the very beginning of the season, they're better now. Everybody recognizes there's a lot of work to be done for Tennessee to get to where everybody expects Tennessee football to be, and yeah, certainly to be anywhere close to where Alabama has been over the last 10 plus years with Nick Saban.
How is your freshman quarterback? I know he's in concussion protocol, I believe.
He has been, and the expectation has seemed over the last few days that Brian Maurer is going to be good to go for Tennessee on Saturday night. They're also going to have Jarrett Garantano ready. Game time decision. I wonder if it really is that. That's what we've been told by Jeremy Pruitt over the last couple of days. But if he's cleared Thursday or Friday, I wouldn't expect Tennessee to announce that. If that's the case, then they're going to know before they go through warmups. Now, he can say that, and it can be partly monitoring Brian and look and see how he looks through warmups. But behind the scenes, if he's practicing and they're giving him first team reps, that is to get him ready to play. So assuming he's cleared, and that has been the expectation, I haven't talked to anybody that doesn't expect Brian Maurer to be the starting quarterback. He should be ready. But Tennessee is getting Garantano ready, because if Brian Maurer struggles, they could make a change. Or if Maurer gets hurt, then he could, you know, at that point he'd have to come out. He was injured against Georgia twice and had to come out of the game, and then suffered the injury in the second quarter against Mississippi State, and Garantano finished it out. So Jarrett will be ready. He's a fourth-year guy who knows how to run the offense, but Tennessee is still looking to build with Brian Maurer.
Talk about Tennessee in terms of the SEC arms race. It seems like every week there's a new water slide or some kind of fountain or – a big jumpy house or anything to help with the SEC arms race so that kids can have a lot of fun and relax and also have that camaraderie. Where is Tennessee in terms of facilities in this conference?
I think Tennessee is doing really well there, and across the league, it's a big focus. Tennessee has expanded its practice field to where they have three practice fields that they work on outside. They also have an indoor facility, which has been there for a long time. When Jeremy Pruitt came in, his strength coach, Craig Fitzgerald, wanted a new strength room set up, and they did it for him. So a new weight room was put in, and that costs a lot of money. Tennessee has not spared an expense when it's come to putting together a coaching staff, support staff, and trying to increase and upgrade the facilities. With Philip Fulmer as the athletic director, he's going to continue to support Jeremy Pruitt in that. And Philip Fulmer, as much as anybody, wants Tennessee to succeed at a high level again. And he knows that facilities and resources for the coaching staff is going to have to be a priority. So it's cost a lot of money, and Tennessee doesn't have the results to this point. They are seeing it as an investment to get Tennessee football back. I think it's going to be a while, but in terms of the ultimate expectations, and that's competing for championships. But that's why, I think the second half of this season is so important. In this game, the expectation is not to go win or be in the game in the fourth quarter with a chance to win. If that were to happen, fans would be beyond excited. But knowing that Tennessee's a 34.5 point underdog, I think fans in this game want to see some progress, see Tennessee do some things well, similar to the Georgia game. Tennessee played well in the first half, or a lot of the first half, ultimately lost by 29 points, but there was something to build on coming out of that game. I think fans want to see that in this game. And then next week against South Carolina, come back home, get a win, and then try to make some progress to get to a bowl game. If that happens, it would be a disappointing start to the season, but a really nice finish. A lot has to go into making that happen. You don't just win one game against Mississippi State and that fixes everything. That's why Tennessee needs to make sure that it's focused. And the player response, I think, has been good to that. I'm curious on the other side. How is Alabama viewed this week, the Tennessee game, and then the Tennessee rivalry, which has a ton of history, but it's, of course, been so one-sided with what Alabama's done since Nick Saban arrived?
Yeah, I think it's almost a generational thing, Josh. I think our youngest fans, if you think about students at Alabama who probably became football fans around the age of, let's say, 12, I mean, they've never lost to Tennessee. They don't know the mid-90s Tennessee, the late 90s Tennessee, Phil Fulmer's Tennessee. They don't know that. And I think they look at the Tennessee game as, what are all these old people talking about? And whereas the older generation of Alabama fans, are still a lot of those, even those in power, they still consider Tennessee an enormous game, an enormous rivalry that immediately brings back memories. Luke and I, who I like to pretend that we're in the middle of those generations and we're not one or the other. That's what I'm pretending this week anyway. This week we started our Locked On Bama podcast with our favorite Tennessee memories, and believe it or not, I guess because of our age, we didn't bring up Amari Cooper or Julio Jones or anything that Tua did last year. No, we talked about surprising Alabama wins when Tennessee was among the national elite. So in terms of how Alabama and Alabama fans view this game, it almost depends on what age group you're talking to. The youngest Alabama fans, the students, they don't know the history of this game. And with Alabama winning 12 in a row, they probably haven't looked it up. But the older generation of Alabama fans, I think, hold to this game in some level of almost religious esteem. I mean, it's the third Saturday in October. Everyone knows what that means and all the traditions that go with it. So I think it's still a big game. It's still a game everyone looks forward to. And at the same time, I think everyone recognizes, the situation that Jeremy Pruitt inherited at Tennessee, and that Tennessee is in the midst of frankly, it's just a rebuilding job. And I think everyone sees the matchup that way. But the tradition, the rivalry, as far as most Alabama fans, and particularly the older ones, it's still there.
We'll continue this conversation here in just a moment as you're listening to a Locked On Vols and Locked On Bama collaboration episode. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network, which continues to grow and expand with the different sports that it's covering, including Locked On NBA. The NBA season is just a few days away, and they continue to roll out new big national shows. So check that out, and Locked On Vols is here 5 days a week covering what's going on with UT. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah, I think it's that way with the Tennessee rivalry as well, on the Tennessee side with the rivalry, that depending on which age group you talk to, you're going to get a different kind of response. And on my radio show in Knoxville, Sports 180 on Thursday, we had Joey Kent on the show, former Tennessee wide receiver, great player in the mid-90s, one of the greatest players in Tennessee history. And in 95, he had that big catch on play number one, which is one of the favorite plays by many Tennessee fans. And that helped get things going on Tennessee side, where they had that winning streak. And Joey's a Huntsville, Alabama native, and then chose to play at Tennessee. So we talked to him about how much it means to him. And he's a guy that I guess he's probably in his early 40s now. So he would be in that range where so many fans had seen the ups and the downs, but each side experiencing big time success. And of course, he's a former player, so he experienced it on the field as well. But it means so much to him, the Tennessee-Alabama game, and he almost desperately wants to see it get back. So I think he speaks for a lot of people when he says that. But if I ask somebody who's 20 years younger, they can have a much different perspective on the game. I'm probably in an age range where you get differing opinions, and the Florida game for Tennessee fans my age are probably looking at it and saying, well, that's our number one, and Florida's actually had a big advantage against the Vols the last decade and a half. But I think it's very much age dependent on what kind of response you get on both sides, Tennessee or Alabama, and how that rivalry is viewed. And I think everybody looks at it as, yes, it's been a rivalry, but man, the rivalry has been negatively affected in terms of the buildup because of how well Alabama's played here the last, well, since Nick Saban arrived in 2007, and how one side of the game has been. In 2009 and 2015, those are the only 2 years since Saban arrived that Tennessee's really had a shot in the fourth quarter to knock off Alabama, and Tennessee came up short, of course, in both times.
Yeah, and Joey Kent, that brings up some memories too. That is who I think of when I think of this rivalry, because he made a point. I mean, he was pretty adamant that when he went to Tennessee, he became a Tennessee guy, and he made it clear that going to play Alabama was a big deal for him. And I guess that is kind of what I miss right now. I miss the rivalry there. And you were hoping, like, somebody, the guy that just left, Will Ignat? Is that how you
Will
say
Ignat,
it?
Linebacker.
Yeah. 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 And he just left, I know. And I keep up with the AHSA here a lot, and he was a great player. He was a very good player in Alabama high school system. I don't know what happened, but it was guys that would leave Alabama or leave Tennessee and go to the other one that would help make this rivalry very special. And I'm different from a lot of folks. You can certainly understand why there aren't a lot of love letters being sent to Phil Fulmer from the state of Alabama to his home address. There might be some letters. They're not love related. But to me, I'd look at it as, I want Tennessee to be better because I do enjoy this rivalry, and it's not as much fun when one of them is not contributing to it. So I really do want Tennessee to get better. And I'm puzzled by the fact that they have not been able to get over the proverbial hump. It just seems like there are a lot of things in place, but on the other side, and maybe you can speak to this, Tennessee is in a bit of a no man's land, geographically speaking. Knoxville is way on one end. The most recruiting hotbeds for Tennessee or Nashville and Memphis, which are a good ways away from Knoxville, obviously. And then, yeah, in the heyday, Tennessee would go and get a Heath Shuler from North Carolina or a Jay Graham from North Carolina, or they got so many wide receivers from California and Atlanta. Jamal Lewis from Georgia. Yeah, I mean, just you could rattle off guys. But now it seems like it's – I know they got Wanya Morris last year. They also got Darnell Wright. I want to ask you about those two guys and how they're performing. But, it seems like they're not getting as many of those nationally renowned guys anymore. And what can be done to change that?
Well, Tennessee has to win more games, and there's a chicken and the egg aspect, chicken or the egg aspect with this. Of, you got to win more games to go get the recruits, but you need more recruits to win more games. That's why I've talked about Tennessee needs to be more consistent in playing well and beating teams like Vanderbilt, Kentucky, Mississippi State, when a team like that pops up on the schedule, which Tennessee did beat, and then South Carolina. South Carolina's 3-0 against Tennessee with Will Muschamp as the head coach. Tennessee needs to win more of those games to go get more recruits. Because the Vols are, they're in the picture for a lot of these big-time players, but they're not winning enough of those battles yet. But getting guys like Wanya Morse and Darnell Wright is a really good start. Those guys are, I think, playing really well as true freshmen. They're the starting left and right tackles, and they are reasons for Tennessee fans to feel better about the future. So Tennessee went to West Virginia to get Darnell Wright. They went to Georgia to get Wanya Morse. Harrison Bailey and B.J. Ojulari are a couple of guys from Marietta, Georgia, who are committed in the 2020 class, highly touted guys. Ojulari is a big-time player, his older brother is a big-time player at Georgia. Quavaris Crouch came from North Carolina. Henry To'oto'o chose Tennessee over Alabama. So there is one recruiting battle that Tennessee won against the Crimson Tide going out to California to get To'oto'o. But you guys know Alabama is winning so many more of those battles. Georgia is, Clemson is. So Tennessee needs more of those players. And I think it's going to take time. Tennessee needs more player development. They need to build along the lines of scrimmage. And if that happens, then Tennessee's going to have a chance to be more competitive against teams like Alabama and Georgia. But there's work that has to be done. But the roster development that Alabama is able to put together because of the talent that comes in and then the competition that they have within the roster and the joke, as you probably know, around the SEC is, okay, Alabama loses a 4 or 5-star guy, and here comes the next one in line. That's happened at linebacker this year. And Tennessee's not anywhere close to that. So it's just going to take time in recruiting, and Tennessee does need more wins to have more recruiting success. That's why what happens in the second half of the season, I think, is going to be so important. And Jeremy Pruitt's the head coach. He knows what it takes to win at that level. He's seen it firsthand, having coached at Alabama and having coached at Florida State for a year and Georgia as well. But he needs more success on the field to give himself a chance, I think, to do that long term.
Is there almost like a line of demarcation between the freshmen and the true sophomores in this team and the older kids, to be a little brutally honest? Is it obvious to Tennessee fans that the freshmen and sophomores are just a more talented group than the juniors and seniors?
I think from just a raw talent standpoint, yes, that probably applies in a number of areas. But it's been a big conversation, I think, this year and maybe since Jeremy Pruitt arrived, that I think the staff needed to do a better job of recruiting the guys that they inherited, if that's the right way of saying it, or making sure that relationships were strong enough. And that part's not even my opinion. Jeremy Pruitt said that back in July at Media Days. He said that he didn't do a good enough job in his first year of developing relationships with players. And the freshmen, the newcomers, are absolutely a big part of the future. And a lot of them are a part of the now, with To'oto'o starting at linebacker and Morris and Wright at left and right tackle. But Tennessee is still being led by veterans. And Brian Maurer, he's playing now at quarterback. So there's another example. He's a freshman, although Tennessee still needed a fourth-year guy, Jarrett Garantano, to help lead the way against Mississippi State. But Tennessee's best offensive lineman is Trey Smith. He's a junior. He's a Butch Jones guy. Tennessee's best offensive player overall is fifth-year senior Juwan Jennings. The second-best wide receiver is senior Marquez Callaway, a defender who's stepped up over the last few weeks and made plays, Nigel Warrior. The best defensive player is outside linebacker Daryl Taylor, fifth-year senior. Matthew Butler stepped up and made plays last week. He's a junior. So they're relying on freshmen. But I said at the beginning of the season, do not count out the 2016 and 17 guys, because they are going to have to help lead the way. The guy who scored the game-winning touchdown for Tennessee last week against Mississippi State, senior wide receiver Tyler Byrd. So those guys need to continue to play well through the rest of this season if Tennessee is going to reach its goal of getting to the postseason. And we'll continue this conversation looking ahead to the game on Saturday. Coming up next, Locked On Vols, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, you can listen anywhere you find podcasts, Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, the third-party apps as well, like Overcast, Himalaya, and Stitcher. And you can tell your smart speaker to play podcasts, Locked On VOLS, and it'll fire right up for you.
Hey, Josh, I got to ask you something. Are you scared to death of red LED lights or not?
Yeah. So tell me, how big of a deal and story is this? Because, Tennessee fans are frustrated in the Eastern time zone of the 9 o'clock kickoff. So that's 8 o'clock local. Is that a big part down there of the LED lights and the show that it's going to be?
Yeah. Jimmy, hang on 1 second. I'll let you chime in. But yeah, first of all, as I said, I told you off air, I'm almost 47. Jimmy, I think by his appearance is almost 68, but, But we go to bed early. And you know, Alabama's been begging for a night kick because we got these new LED lights that everybody flipped out over when Georgia played Notre Dame in Athens. They copied us. We got our LEDs first, man. And it's not very often that the state of Alabama beats the state of Georgia in some kind of advancement like that. Give us our moment. We can't turn them on at 11 o'clock in the morning when it's 98 degrees and the sun's beating down. So we finally get to turn these on. And ironically, we're going to have to turn them on and they'll probably lead us right on into the morning. But yeah, I can't imagine how frustrating it is for you guys. I mean, at kickoff at 9 o'clock, that's pretty doggone late. But go ahead, Jimmy.
So, say kicking off at 9, kicking off a college football game at 9 p.m., it's outrageous, really. It's outrageous. But I guess that's just what we have with the SEC network and all of the networks that put the SEC on air. They want to show all the games, so all the times have to be staggered. And this is the card that we drew. As Luke said, when Alabama was first introduced to the new LED lights, it was in a promo that the Alabama Athletic Department put out, and it was kind of a secret. It wasn't well known, and then they put out a promo showing these great lights, and everybody got super excited about it because, frankly, hadn't seen anything like it. And then it's one day game after another. Alabama's not gotten to use them at all. Georgia got to use theirs before Alabama, even though Alabama installed their lighting system prior to Georgia. Georgia installed their system after learning of Alabama's. So,
Jimmy,
and then Georgia got to show it off to the world.
And Jimmy, you know, it just made me think of something that we really were thinking, oh my God. And since the LSU game is not going to be a night game, our LED lights may be like that Chuck Norris joke about his tears curing cancer. Too bad he never cries. I mean, our LED lights may be awesome, but too bad nobody ever sees them.
That's right. But so I think Alabama fans are 50% excited about finally getting to see the light show and 50% frustrated over the kickoff times. I know it's got to really, I'm sure the rest of the league, Josh and Tennessee fans view it as, you know, what a lot of the league calls as Alabama problems, which tend to not be quite on the misery scale as let's say, for instance, a Vanderbilt problem or something like that. But Alabama, has not, you know, we kicked off so many games at 2:30. I mean, so many games are 2:30, and you don't want to complain. That's the premier game. It's the CBS is the premier broadcast of SEC football, but it's 1, 2:30 or 3 o'clock broadcast after another. And then we're finally granted a night game and it's 8 p.m. local, 9 p.m. Eastern. So there's some frustration over the kickoff times. I think Alabama fans are like, can't we kick off at 6 p.m. like normal human beings? I think it's kind of the question, but again, we also realize it's Alabama problems. It's not the
problems.
I
can tell you
on
the Tennessee side, Locked On Vols listeners right now are rolling their eyes, Jimmy, at the complaining of the kickoff times. And Tennessee's in a position where they're not the first or second pick often of what the kickoff times are going to be because of the results. So yeah, as fans might be complaining about some of the kickoff times or the lights not being able to be seen as much as the fans want to, Tennessee fans are worried about much bigger issues. Can they get into the top two or three with some of their top prospects who, by the way, already have Alabama in there? So Tennessee fans, I can just tell you they're not gonna have any sympathy for Alabama or Alabama fans at any point anytime soon.
Jimmy, even I was sitting here going, I'm really starting to dislike Alabama fans while you're talking right now.
I lost like 8 pounds at one game. 8 pounds.
Josh, we've only got a few more minutes here, so I want you to do a couple things for me. First of all, tell me your favorite Alabama-Tennessee memory, and then give me a prediction for this weekend.
Well, I'm probably a little bit biased in the answer because I've had a chance to get to know Joey Kent. So I would go to that 95 game. 03, CJ Faton on fourth down. That's a big play in Tennessee history against Alabama as well. More recent history for sure. But I would go to Joey Kent. It was a great call by the late John Ward. And I've had a chance to talk to Joey about that and you know what it meant to him. So I think that's going to stand out to a lot of Tennessee fans, somewhere in my age range, and older fans who have seen more Tennessee Alabama games are going to have different answers, but that's the beauty of a rivalry. That's why I think so many people on both sides want the game to be more competitive, so more memories can be made, and younger Tennessee and Alabama fans who are watching the series moving forward, assuming it stays in place, and right now that would appear to be the case, that more competitive games, whether Alabama wins or Tennessee wins, that we can have more to talk about, because we just don't have much recently. From the Alabama side, I guess there's the Terrence Cody blocks in 09, but that's not a good memory for Tennessee fans. So I'll go 95, Joey Kent on play number one, going 80 yards against Alabama's defense, a special play. This week, I don't think Tennessee is going to be all that competitive. I do think Tennessee can cover that number, but part of that might be because of what Jeremy Pruitt said at his press conference earlier this week, that Nick Saban's taking it easy on some teams, Tennessee included. But the Vols have to play sound up front. The improved play on the line of scrimmage needs to be there, I think, for Tennessee against Alabama. And if that's the case, then it can be closer throughout. I just have a difficult time seeing Tennessee's secondary having any kind of chance of covering those wide receivers for Alabama. It's an incredible group with Tua Tagovailoa delivering the football. So I think Alabama wins by a number close to 27 to 30 points in the end. And for Alabama, I think that'd be good enough. For Tennessee, that might be something to build on heading into the South Carolina game. Tennessee has to take care of the football, though. If Tennessee turns it over a bunch, then it could get out of hand and be closer to what we saw last year, where it was a 37-point win for Alabama.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something else that just dawned on me. If the Bear and the General, if you told them that, hey, sometime in the 2019 time frame, there'll be two Hawaiians that are very important for each team in the Tennessee-Alabama rivalry, they would have called you crazy. So that's just it's interesting how the recruiting net has been widened for all teams all across the country. But Josh, man, we certainly appreciate your being on the podcast with us today, and can't wait to talk to you again sometime in the future, buddy.
Yeah, good to be with you guys. Appreciate the collaboration for this Friday episode heading into the weekend, and look forward to seeing what happens this weekend. And I'm sure we'll be talking again in the future about Tennessee and Alabama, and I hope that we're doing that in a more competitive sense between the two sides.
Yeah, us too, bud. Us too.
Thanks, guys. I do appreciate it. And that is going to do it for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed a show that is a little bit different with the collaboration of Locked On Vols and Locked On Bama. This is, of course, going to be a very difficult game for Tennessee on Saturday night. But let's see. They play the game for a reason, and it was a game that was closer than expected in 2009 and 2015, both times in Tuscaloosa. Can Jeremy Pruitt's team do something like that this Saturday night? We'll see. Either way, I'm back on Monday to talk about what will have happened this weekend and what might happen next week as Tennessee gets ready for South Carolina, a game that will be very important to help determine what will happen as the rest of this season goes along. Tennessee still has a chance to get to a bowl game. Tennessee can still find success this season despite how it started. Next week will greatly matter in that attempt, though. So I'll be back next week to talk about everything that's going on with Tennessee. Continue to subscribe, download, rate and review, and spread the word to other Tennessee fans about Locked On Vols. Thanks to everybody for hanging out. Enjoy the weekend, and I'll see you back here on Monday on Locked On Vols.